Hello, everybody. You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University. We respectfully acknowledge that we broadcast in the unceded ancestral territories of the Squamish, the Musqueam, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Kwikwetlem. You can stream us online at cjsf.ca, and today you are listening to Speak Up at 10 a.m. We thank you so much for joining us again for day two of CJSF's Pride Week. And yesterday we interviewed Marv, who is a Black queer femme artist and community organizer based in Canada. And today I am interviewing somebody who is very near and dear to my heart. He was one of my favorite high school teachers, Hashim Hakim. He is a PhD candidate in the Department of French and Faculty of Education at SFU. His dissertation analyzes French immersion high school students' perceptions and understandings of sexual and gender diversity in French and Francophone literature, film, and visual media, with the goal of better equipping teachers to critically address these issues in the classroom. He speaks about his experience being a high school teacher determined to foster a more progressive learning environment, his nomination for the Diversity and Inclusion category of 2018 Premier's Award for Excellence in Education, and much more. Stay tuned to listen to my interview with Hashim Hakim after this PSA.
Hey, this is Anuki, your Faculty of Environment representative, here to let you know what the SFSS is. The SFSS is a student union that is student-led, and it represents and advocates for the interests of the 26,000 undergraduate students at SFU. We are a non-for-profit support network and a voice at SFU, which provides services like the UCAS and health and dental. We also provide support to make your student life better. You can reach the SFSS on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or by emailing us. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.
Welcome to Speak Up. Thank you so much for being here and interviewing with me. Please introduce yourself. Who are you and what do you do?
Hi, so my name is Hashim Hakim. I'm a PhD candidate in the Department of French and Faculty of Education at SFU. And so I was also a sessional lecturer for a few semesters. My research more broadly focuses on critical pedagogy in the context of schools and specifically on queer pedagogy. And currently I'm working on my dissertation, which analyzes French immersion high school students' perceptions and understandings of sexual and gender diversity as represented in French and Francophone literature, film, visual media, with the goal of better equipping teachers to critically address some of these issues in their classrooms.
As a follow-up, what led you to teaching? Did you have a vision of what you wanted your classrooms and or lessons to look like?
I'll give you like the cliche answer of what everyone says. I mean, obviously for me, teaching has always been a big passion of mine. And I think a lot of that also came from during my years in high school, but also during my undergraduate years, I tutored a lot one-on-one. And it's something that led me to really enjoy connecting with students, really seeing the impact that that can have on them, helping them reach their goals, and really motivating them to do better. And in terms of my vision, I think when I started teaching in high school, my vision was really, you know, I envisioned the classroom to be a place where students were often challenged, and especially where critical thinking was a central component of their learning. I think for me, school is very fundamental. I think sometimes we forget how important it is at a very young age and all the way until students graduate. Because it is where students at the end of the day spend most of their time. So I really believe it should be a place where students are acquiring the skills, the understandings, the awareness to really tackle real life issues. So for me, I usually like my classroom to reflect this through the books that I choose to, you know, study with my students. The material, so to make it relevant. And that was always, you know, my vision coming into the classroom.
What was your experience like working as a teacher on the administration and staff side of things? The good, the bad, the ugly?
You know, I'll be honest, I think there's always some challenges. As a queer person of color, I can tell you that schools are not always the most welcoming places, but I would say, more so from the side of staff and administration. I have to admit that in terms of my experience working with students is on the overall has been quite positive. Students are often very open and to learning new things. And, you know, although on paper, many schools will claim to defend diversity, equity, inclusion. These are really terms that we're oftentimes hearing, but it's quite different in practice from my own experience. It seems that from what I observed, anti-racism education, anti-homophobia, anti-transphobia, the moment you begin to challenge the status quo and the very systems that reinforce and keep oppression in place, such as, you know, heteronormativity, whiteness, when I became to do that within my own practices in the classroom, and when I began to vocalize some of these positions, you quickly become ostracized, accused of being divisive, and constantly silenced. And it did lead me to believe from my own experience that schools don't always accept critical thinking. They accept diversity, equity, inclusion, but within the confines of their own comfort. So as long as it's not being disruptive to the status quo. And I think one of the biggest takeaways I took in my own experience teaching in the school where I was working is the overall ignorance around issues of sexuality, gender, homophobia, racism. And one quick example that I can give is that an anti-racism workshop that was hosted by our school, and we could not even get through the workshop due to discomfort of many white folks around issues of race. We couldn't even come to a consensus about what racism was because it was making a lot of the white folks in the room very uncomfortable, going as far as standing up and saying that they too were victims of racism. It was one of those moments where, you know, looking at your entire staff and seeing the great majority not be able to grapple with these issues was quite eye-opening and led me to see how schools can be environments that are really unwelcoming and uncomfortable for people that are in marginalized communities. Overall, we see that there's very little critical understanding. I mean, based on the experience that I had, there was very little critical understanding about race, sexuality, gender, and more broadly issues around social justice and equity. So we do see a great disconnect between these policies of inclusion, diversity, our support for things like pride and our stances against racism. So there's a tension between all this and then the reality of what is actually happening in school.
We're going to take a little bit of a break here to listen to some songs that you actually recommended. The first one being Debout by Ariane Moffat, and the next one being Le Manac des N by Pierre Lapointe. And when we come back, I am going to ask you a little bit about some of the student reactions to your teaching style.
Pour le partager avec moi. plus d'une semaine passée ensemble. Je ne sais pas à quoi on ressemble. Les heures qu'on a passées au lit ont eu raison de notre ennui et font qu'elle est plus belle la vie. Tu tisses des étoffes de joie avec tes rires, avec ta voix. Tu fous le feu à mes combats, je ne sais pas qui gagnera, ma peur, mes vertiges ou ma foi. Je ne sais où on s'en va, je me répète qu'il ne faut pas tenter de comprendre où mènent les histoires qui valent la peine. Ton vernis à ongles est joli, tes yeux vifs et ta barbe aussi. Je suis silencieux, fasciné par tes mouvements animés de cette douce virilité. Tes airs de monarque des Indes auraient déjà dû me faire craindre. Ce grand voyage étourdissant, propulsé dans le firmament, j'ai peur d'avoir mal en tombant. Je ne sais où on s'en va, je me répète qu'il ne faut pas tenter de comprendre où mènent les histoires qui valent la peine. Est-ce une passion corporelle ou l'amour à dos d'hirondelle? La distance qui nous sépare fait qu'on doit remettre à plus tard le verdict face à nos espoirs. Tu dessines des murs, des plafonds, moi je saoule avec des chansons. Séparés par un océan, on marche sur un fil d'argent, j'aimerais pouvoir être géant. Je ne sais où on s'en va, je me répète qu'il ne faut pas tenter de comprendre où mènent les histoires qui valent la peine.
We're back from our break talking to Hashim Akeem.
What were some student reactions to your teaching style? So, like, we talked about sort of like how staff and administration acted around, you know, issues like race and homophobia and transphobia. Were you surprised by anything that students reacted with?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, when you think about students, it's the complete other side of things. And I think obviously there's a range of emotions that come from this kind of teaching style where you do address some more difficult topics. And it ranged, basically reactions, you could say, ranging from resistance to discomfort to even empowerment. I would say on the whole students, what's most surprising and quite nice to see is that students are much more susceptible to change and growth than adults. It seemed to me from my own experience, adults can be very focused, very fixed in their own ways, and very reticent to making any changes. But at the same time, I also expected this because it's normal when you've been socialized all your life in a curriculum that perpetuates the status quo, that does not teach you the skills to be critical of your surroundings, of the discourses that construct your identity, the critical of norms. And it's normal for you to then resist to maybe anti-oppressive approaches to education because you've been socialized in a curriculum that has been doing the complete opposite, right? But of course, covertly acting as they are being neutral. But what is something that is surprising and that I've encountered a few times is that in the beginning, students were often very resistant, uncomfortable. And that's something that I observed, you know, from teaching, you had some students who were very uncomfortable in the beginning. When we did work on queer novels and when we did actually talk about, you know, some of the impacts that of issues such as homophobia, transphobia, and the role heteronormativity plays in this perpetuation. And many students who came back at the end of the year or the semester, or even sometime after graduation, who got in touch with me to express, you know, their appreciation for what they learned, for being challenged, for realizing things that they hadn't realized before, and for bringing to light issues that had never been discussed. And even some students coming out after and realizing that actually this enabled them to become more conscious about their own sexuality or gender in other ways. And I think that's something that can, that doesn't come immediately. And it's normal to initially maybe have that reaction where you are feeling uncomfortable and you're resistant, and then the things change. And I think that's something that we often see. I mean, one email that stuck out to me was after a discussion that we had in class that got quite heated because, you know, students were disagreeing on things. One student sent me a thank you note privately saying, thank you for talking about and discussing transphobia, and especially when there was that whole debate on freedom of speech, people being able to express whatever speech they want and to use that whatever pronouns they want. And this student really wanted to say that they were very grateful that these issues were being tackled when all teachers avoided the topic completely, quoting the student's words. That was very important because for me, it kind of helped realize that these were important issues. And although there are difficult moments in class, there's time to kind of reflect and come back to it. So I think an easy way to summarize this is that you do see a range of reactions and a range of emotions, which is very normal, but it can be very empowering for students as well. I think it's the empowering part for me that makes it all that more important. Even in the experiences where people do may react negatively, you also have to examine that in a critical lens and think about why are they reacting negatively and what could this mean and where is this going to lead later? And, you know, oftentimes they do come back and self-reflect and think about this experience later in life when they've matured and when they've had other experiences. I would say the experience dealing with students has been much more positive and much more rewarding than dealing with staff or administration.
How did it feel to be a finalist in the diversity and inclusion category of 2018 Premier's Awards for Excellence in Education, given some of the criticism you previously faced from your coworkers and fellow teachers?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be honest. I mean, I have to say, like, there is a small part of you that one word to summarize this is very rewarding. I think at the end of the day, you know, I don't do the work that I do to receive awards. But I'll admit, when you're made to feel, and this was especially at a time when I received this nomination, it was at a time where I had just left the school. When you're made to feel by your own superiors that your teaching is, you know, I've been told was not balanced, that you have a political or an emotional agenda. It felt really good, and I was proud at that moment to be recognized as an educator who goes above and beyond to make life better for students in British Columbia. And that's what the Premier Awards for Excellence is. That's how it's defined. So for me, it was a huge reminder at a time when I needed it most. Because, you know, as much as you do this work and you're confident, you can have moments where you doubt yourself. Because coming from marginalized communities, you're often made to feel like you constantly need to defend what you're doing. You constantly need to legitimize what you're doing because it oftentimes gets dismissed. It's important. It was a reminder that it was important to pick your battles. Drown out background noise. You know, for me, it was like drowning out that noise that just wasn't important, and to keep moving forward as best that I can to do the important work that so many young people are counting on. So for me, it was really rewarding. And it takes me to a really important quote that I like from James Baldwin. Just this question makes me think of it, is those who say it can't be done are usually interrupted by others doing it. That's the idea, is that you just have to keep doing that work, doing that, you know, interrupting, disrupting. And it's the important work that a lot of people rely on, but that can also be, you know, really emotionally can be tiring as well, having to constantly do that. But it came at a time where it was important to feel, you know, recognized for a lot of that work. and to remind myself that that work was important and that the voices of those around me who were trying to discount that work at the end of the day were not significant.
You went on to teach at the same high school that you attended as a teenager. In terms of social equity, what did your high school experience look like? And how do you feel that that environment has changed for students now based on what you saw as a teacher?
I mean, at the time when I went to school, quite a long time ago, I mean, it's hard to even think back. I mean, this was a time when there weren't a lot of resources around, you know, dealing with LGBTQ issues. So there were a lot of challenges from in that sense. There was definitely a lot more overt homophobia at that time, many things that I faced myself. But I think at the same time, when we fast forward to today, when I was a teacher, obviously you're at a different point in your life. You have come to terms with your own identity, and you also are more critical about a lot of issues. So you do approach it from a completely different lens. What I did observe is, yes, progress has been made. But I think we also have to remember that at the same time, there is a lot more to do. And one thing that I did realize is, of course, I went to school in the same place where I taught. That means I was also seeing the same staff sometimes, you know, and sometimes it did shock me how some people did not evolve at all, how they maintained the same mentality. There is no growth. There was no professional development of any sort, which was problematic in one sense. At the same time, I did see that there was a lot more that had been done in terms of moving forward with policies and everything. But it's really important to remember that when things do change, like, you know, people say, well, today we have more policies against anti-bullying, anti-homophobia in schools and everything. But I also remind people that these changes have happened because they're in line with legal changes in Canada, right? Mm-hmm. So that also has to do with federal and provincial amendments, for example, to the criminal code that no longer allow discrimination on the grounds of gender identity, gender expression, sexual orientation. So schools have to move in that direction with changes, you know? And sometimes I wonder, would we be moving in that direction if we weren't seeing those legal changes that were, you know? So it also has to do with that. But what is still missing, like I said before, is how we can move to more critical approaches where we're moving past just this idea of inclusion, but we're also becoming more anti-oppressive in our approaches. I mean, I haven't worked in every school in the province, but I can definitely tell that some school districts have been moving in that direction, and it's quite impressive to see. For example, the school district of Burnaby, where they hosted an LGBTQ-friendly high school dance, which is really a nice step to see. Or I have delivered professional development workshops for educators within the school district of Burnaby who have organized workshops that in conjunction with the Canadian Center for Gender and Sexual Diversity. So there have been these collaborations made in order to create opportunities for educators and students to become more well-versed in some of these issues. So I do think some of the work is being done, but it really varies across the province. We're not seeing a very uniform approach, but hopefully when enough school districts begin to do that work, we're going to hopefully see the impacts elsewhere. You know, we hope.
What informed your decision to publish Queer with some old students? And first of all, what is Queer and what informed your decision to publish it?
Queer is a branch magazine that tackles issues around, well, LGBTQ issues around homophobia, transphobia. And it was started as a journalism project when I was teaching in high school. And that was going to be published on the International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia on May 17th. And this magazine is published entirely in French, and it would be used as an educational resource for students and maybe even for teachers as well, actually, to use in their classrooms. It grew out of my own experience tackling issues of homophobia and transphobia, but also from students themselves who wanted to create this project, who felt their school needed to be more educated about these issues, who had noticed that there was more to be done. So it started as a really small project, then grew to receiving media attention. And I was grateful to have done two radio interviews about Queer, with CBC Radio Canada. CBC also covered the launch of We Are last year, which was held at FFU. And given very few French resources exist out there that address issues around sexuality and gender, which is a big part of my research, this was an excellent opportunity to address this gap and provide students with stories, texts, poems that may speak to their own experience, especially in the second edition, which all came from authors who are from the LGBTQ community and who provided texts about their own experience. Some were narrative texts, poems, allies also from the LGBTQ community who contributed. It was an excellent opportunity and that resource in French, and it's available electronically for students from everywhere to access and to use in the classroom. For me, it really came from my own experience, but it also then became part of my research. Because for me, as someone who is doing a PhD, I think it's very important. For me, community engagement is very important as part of my work. Not only the research, but it's also to make sure that this research, we bridge that gap between research and practice. So this is one way. Unfortunately, we weren't able to carry on with the project this year, mainly due to obviously the situation that we are in.
So what would you like to see from BC schools in the next decade? Like a change in curriculum, administration, et cetera?
I mean, do I have an hour to answer this question? I think there's so many things. I think it's such an important question. And it's something that I've been thinking about for a very long, but I think we can start with thinking about maybe three main elements. One is curriculum. And BC has already transitioned to a new curriculum that's more competency-based. So dealing with social responsibility, communication, critical and reflective thinking. So it's already moving in that direction, but we need to start seeing a more transversal approach, in my view. It means that we're not really saying, oh, we need a unit on sexuality and gender. We need a course on these topics. No, we want to see these topics applied in the classroom and integrated in all subject areas, but in a transversal way, right? We want to see issues around sexuality, gender, race integrated through literature, through film, through comics, through the teaching that we're doing in the classroom, in the stories that we're doing. And obviously, this may seem very much more evident to incorporate in courses like French, English language arts, because there's that literature component, but we can see it in other ways. I mean, if we take a look, there's been research done on science. The teaching of science continues to be very heteronormative as well and gender binary. A lot of people say, well, it's biology. Well, there's a lot of research by biologists themselves, renowned biologists, who themselves say that biological sex is very complex. It's not simply a binary. Maybe we need to start teaching science in a way that it reflects this diversity, right? And that's where you see oftentimes intersex people get completely shafted to the side and not incorporated in this. Or when they're incorporated as being extreme cases where, quite frankly, it's not. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily an extreme case, but that biological sex is much more complex. So that's just one example of seeing how we can start to have this teaching be reflected more critically. And since we have critical thinking as a primary component of the new BC curriculum, let's see that put into practice in the actual courses, especially since now it's competency-based, meaning that this is possible to do. Curriculum, it's very important, and that's really the area of my research that I focus on. Now, in other ways, we can also talk about, okay, administration. I think there definitely needs to be a lot more training around anti-racism, anti-homophobia for administrators, new administrators that are joining teams. Because as I saw in my own experience, there is a deep ignorance around these issues coming from administrators who are simply not well-versed in these issues, who do not understand some of the challenges that a lot of marginalized students face. Also important to make sure that administrations, superintendents, the people working in these roles also reflect the diversity of our society. You know, oftentimes you can have a look yourself and see administration superintendents, quite frankly, oftentimes look alike, right? We're oftentimes seeing the white heterosexual groups, and therefore starts to make you reflect as to why we're not seeing many changes happen. We need to start having more confidence in that. So more training and more careful selection in who are these people. And if we're not seeing enough of those individuals in administration who are from communities of color, LGBTQ, then we also need to be asking ourselves why, right? This is not just a question of qualifications like a lot of people like to claim. The other aspect is professional development programs. So I'm thinking here mainly about the training of new teachers. We need to start building these values and critical approaches into the very programs that train teachers. It needs to become a required component to be able to tackle these issues and deal with them. Like I had shared previously, I was in a room full of staff members who only a very small marginal minority who could understand what racism was. That's quite scary when you think about all these other individuals are working with students daily who have no sensible understanding of what racism is. That is, you know, a deeply troubling trend that I saw. I think it's time to start having the same standards for teachers that we do for other professions. If we're not sending doctors and lawyers into courtrooms and doctors into hospitals without knowing 100% that they have the skills, then we shouldn't be sending teachers into the classroom who do not have any knowledge of racism, of sexuality, of gender, of issues that are deeply relevant to the everyday lives of students. We need to start thinking more about that. And I think that that will help to increase the confidence of the public in teachers and in their work, right? Because there is obviously a lot of social stigma against teachers, which I don't condone in any way, but we need to start moving in the direction that we start to create more rigorous training of teachers, and we start to be more mindful, maybe conduct interviews and think about who are we actually bringing into these programs and who are going to be those teaching. I did observe in my own teaching other colleagues who had homophobic teaching practices and who simply claimed that this was part of their professional autonomy and that they were allowed to teach in this way. And that goes to my last point, which is accountability. There is no accountability. In fact, there is currently no recourse for anyone to complain about any such practices that is observed in the school. Because as teachers, our code of ethics prohibits us from complaining or making any complaint about any other staff member without going and approaching them directly. Mm-hmm. But when someone is being homophobic and racist, you're basically telling them, oh yeah, go confront your abuser, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there needs to be some other recourse in order to deal with some of these issues. Oftentimes, that's where a lot of that toxic environment gets perpetuated. So I think it's starting to think about all these different factors. We may be a long shot, but this is what we need to start doing in order to, you know, see some real changes.
So is there anything else you would like to touch on? Any personal or professional projects you would like to mention?
I mean, I think that's about it. I mean, in terms of projects, currently it's mainly my dissertation mm-hmm. that I'm trying to complete. I mean, that's pretty much the main project at the moment. And of course, I do want to keep continuing to do a lot of the work in terms of professional development, specifically with perhaps different school districts and bringing a lot of these resources and what I've learned from my own thesis research about how students reflect on gender and sexuality and what are some of the strategies that we can bring in to help teachers tackle these issues in their classrooms. Because I do recognize that it isn't easy, but if we do that training, then maybe we can move in the right direction to start seeing some concrete changes. That's the hope that I have, because a lot of the research I do, it's really important for me to see the impact of that research firsthand in school.
Well, thank you so much for interviewing with me today. I'm so happy to have you on. I don't think we mentioned this, but you used to be my grade 12 Ponce Dues teacher. So
that's correct.
Yeah. So it's been really great to hear about sort of like what was happening in the background while I was still a student and things like that. So yeah, again, I thank you so much for being such a great teacher to me and also for coming on to my show today.
Oh, it was a pleasure, and it was a pleasure teaching you as well, that's for sure.
Thank you.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University, and this has been Speak Up with yours truly, Paria, me as the host, and I was just interviewing Hashim Hakeem, and I hope you all enjoyed that interview just as much as I did. I'm going to be closing up this episode with some great songs for you. The first one is Le Coeur à l'Enfant by Frero de la Vega. The next one is Death of a Phone Call by Whatever Dad and Melancholy by Patrick Watson. And I hope that you enjoy.
Je pars en voyage, mon âme au vent, le cœur éléphant. Je suis parti d'ici pour rencontrer la vie, être vivant énormément. Sous les épaules des géants, le cœur éléphant, voir au-delà de nos vies. Sur un rocher, se laisser aller à pas de géant, le cœur éléphant. On prendra notre temps pour découvrir la vie, aimer les gens énormément. Sur les épaules des géants, le cœur éléphant. Pencher la vie du bon côté, le cœur léger, voir les hommes comme les doigts d'une main qui construit pour toi et moi nos utopies.
J'ai le cœur éléphant énormément. J'ai le cœur éléphant. Des orages, je pars en voyage, mon âme au vent, le cœur éléphant. Je suis parti d'ici pour rencontrer la vie, être vivant.
C'est pas bon si tu as envie de pleurer. On est mieux de tous, est-ce pas non? Oh, 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 oh.
Thank you. ran into my demons that told me that I was pretty. I told them I know. Grandma had to go. Carry lonely up the aisle in a hole without a smile. Corduroy on corduroy, they took away my black joy. Getting closure is my cup of tea, ma, who am I supposed to be? What's the point of life if you aren't even trying to grow? Lately I've been having trouble living in the mode. When I'm not doing good, I gotta let my niggas know. I really wanna leave, but I'm way too scared to go. All of us are kids, we say shit that we don't mean. All of us are kids, I would hate to see you bleed. You care too much about your self-esteem. You care too much about the craziest things.
This is Free Voices at CJSF 90.1 FM, talking to you about
Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. We are 10 board of directors and we are rejoicing for world history. Our show is based on true stories, musical and storytelling and role-playing. Silent Crimes Broken, very interesting series of show,
and a lot of in-depth oral tradition. We play every Thursday from 3 to 4. Come and join us.
I want to thank you all so much for listening to my episode of Speak Up Today featuring Hashim Akeem. Today is the second day of CGSF's Pride Week, and tomorrow at this same time during Intravenous, I'm going to be interviewing Malgan Ogier, who is a trans politician here in Vancouver. So the last few songs I played for you all are Someplace Else by More More, So Long by Fleece, Corduroy by Nivram, and the next one I'm going to be playing is Hellbound by Dua Sale.
How you on my lips, you must be spellbound. Got these birdies singing, making frail sounds. Girl, you caught in Lucifer, the bell tower. Diaphragm is off in the air. How? Boy, you looking crooked, white, pale brown. Must have took your shorty out in fairground. Brought it to my show and she my fan now. I don't even know why she bowed down. Jumped into the portal, call me Hades of the brim. No, I ain't no angel, I ain't falling from the brim. Pretty motherfucker, I took Flacco for a spin. You should look within. Have you shaking through your limbs? Pumping all this trauma to your veins until you swim. Boy, don't call your mama, cause she slapped you on the whim. Metal
into a drama, cause our arts was made of tin. Boy, that's just the karma she accrued because of sins.
Hellbound, bitch, you on my dick too much, you're spellbound. Got these brothers singing, making frown sounds. Girl, you caught a noose for the bell chime. Got a slimy shelter in the air now. Boy, you looking crooked while you pale brown. Must you check your shooter at them fairgrounds? Brought him to the show and he my son. I ain't even on why he bowed down. Hop, hop, hop. Jumped into the portal, called me 80s of the grim. No, I ain't no angel, I ain't falling from the brim. Pretty motherfucker, I took flacco for a spin. You should look within. Shaking through your limbs, pumping all the trauma to your veins and to your dreams. Boy, don't call your mama, cause she slapped me on the wing. Metal to the drama, she was sucking on my skin. Boy, that's just some karma, you were cruel because of sin. Hellbound, why you fucking hellbound? Bitch, you on my dick, you must be spellbound. Hellbound. Singing, making fashion, I'm talking to.
It sounds like that, but I just had a dream. It's because I used to take that.